A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's sort of in Canada. Actually, is it in... Where is it, though? East or West Coast?
I don't
coast?
Like movies just because it's set in Canada, you're racist.
Well, that's how Canadians work.
Look, just between you and me, I'm not a huge fan of shrimp. It's the heads. This is gone! Sort my house from up there.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's Core, episode 138 for July 25th, 2018. I'm Scott Johns with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. I apologize for my missingness last week. That was a real bummer. You guys carried on like troopers, and that was rad. So that is deserving of some thanks from me, certainly, and I know the fans are happy about it. So there you go. Sorry, everybody. I almost died. But I'm back. Everything's fine now. I'm alive. I'm well. And we're going to do a show about Heroes of the Storm, because that's what Core is all about. So I was going to ask you guys before we get started here, was that a big pain in the ass? Did it work out okay? I mean, like, I've heard the show, but I mean, like, live and on time, you know, on the air, did it all go the way you wanted, Bo? Did everything work out?
No. You listened to it?
Oh, yeah, sure I did.
I don't know.
What do you think? I was not going to listen to it. I mean, I didn't listen to it right away because I was so freaking sick, but I did catch up over the weekend. And
yeah, it was fine. I mean, I had little hiccups here and there, but it was, you know.
It sounded good. I heard it at the end. I mean, it all was fine. It's good. That made me very happy because, you know, now we know that if the plague does take me one day, you guys got this. You got this covered. It'll all be fine. Right. You just play Taps or whatever it is. Is that the funeral noise? What's the funeral song you play? Is it Taps?
That's Taps, yeah.
Okay. He's that thing. Play that one episode. John does a little Dear Martha speech over the top of it. Yeah. Done. Moving on. On to whatever new hero's out. You'll be all set. Anyway, hey, speaking of new heroes, it's Tease Week. I call it Tea Week here at Core. Blizzard's messing around with us, and nobody's exactly sure what's going on. The initial impression I had was, oh, look at this first image. It looks like a doorway in the high heavens someplace. Maybe this has got something to do with Imperius or some connected Diablo-style dealio. And then they broadened that out. And instead of that image, now we have one of an open door and a kind of a hallway. And a lot of people are pontificating that it's somehow related to the crimson as the color, or perhaps some sort of crusade, or how about the Scarlet Monastery is what I meant to say. My brain wasn't working.
I thought you were just being extremely coy. You're like, like maybe some sort of crimson order.
Yeah, the crimson order. Scarlet Monastery is the current. I see everybody talking about that like crazy. So we gotta talk about it. John is our resident. I think you have an eye for this. Guy, where are you at? Who do you think this is going to be?
I think this is absolutely, it's very hard to refute that it's Scarlet Monastery. People have now gone into the cathedral and taken a picture of the hallway that this would be and said, just look at it. And it basically is, I mean, the red and gold, even the directional tiles that are around it match pretty much one-to-one. You know, there's definitely, it's not an exact screenshot or anything, it's an interpretation, but it's pretty clear that it's Scarlet Monastery, and if that's what we're looking at, my money is on High Inquisitor Whiteman. I think that's kind of the most famous boss from the cathedral that it could possibly be.
Now that's interesting, because I was racking my brain trying to think of who's famous from Scarlet Monastery. Like, I felt like this was dangerous territory because Blizzard can kind of get away with Urel and Warcraft characters of her stature because she's recent, had a pretty big impact, stuck with people, you know, that sort of thing. You might be able to get away with Murad or a few other names like that. But to dig back to Scarlet Monastery, which has really got its roots in not just Warcraft 3, but very much vanilla WoW, it feels like that's pretty far into the...
It's a bit niche.
Yeah.
I think it's niche. And I played a lot in Scarlet Monastery. The thing I remember the most, is I think it's... Is it the bald guys with the bandana that always knocked you down or something like that? Like...
Yeah, I think that's right.
There was like something really irritating, and it wasn't the bosses in that one. It was like just over aggroing the dungeon all the time, I think, in that first room where the Houndmaster is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go in that little side door over there, right? Because everything else was blocked off. It's been a while. I've not been in there.
I mean, they changed it up in Cataclysm, I think. Is that right? Where it's like a 4-instance deal, but I remember when it was one big long instance. And
yeah.
And if you died too late in the dungeon, the beginning monsters would respawn.
Yeah. And then you had an awful, especially if only one or two party members died. And then it's like, well, guys, we got a decision we got to make because we can't get back to you and we need you to come get us.
That really plays on John's love of dungeon trash, generally speaking, as a mechanic in video games. You really like that, don't you?
It's my favorite. So, I don't at all main a rogue so that I can sneak past most unessential mobs in the game.
I always wanted to ask you that, actually. Was that your intention across the board to just say, look, there's plenty to be fun with this, or plenty of fun to be had with this rogue, but also I can sneak past all the shit I don't want to deal with?
That's honestly a part of it. It was rogue was my spirit animal that I didn't know existed. So I played a druid in EverQuest and I was like, oh yeah, this is great. I'm a wolf man. I do these things. Look at all this magic, magic, magic. And at some point I was like, what's this rogue about? And it was like discovering your identity as a human being.
Whoa.
And for me, I was like, oh, this is what I am. It turns out I'm the person that wants to sneak behind things and steal money and stab people in the back. But
doesn't the pickpocket ability make you so sad? It's so lame. Like, you pick like 3 copper in the pickpocket.
It does, but that's 3 copper they don't have anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And then I rob them additionally.
And yeah. The other thing is, and I've had the pleasure of raiding with John before, is that he sneaks past stuff and everyone else still has to kill it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
like this is the most useless thing in the entire game.
No, I've been in raids where, you know, 22 people. There's 23 of us in their total. 22 people are wailing on some hideous trash in a doorway or a hallway, and if you really stop and pay attention to what's going on in the room, there is a rogue in the back sitting there.
That's true.
He's watching Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, it's John chilling. Like a villain back there, which in some ways is part of the persona, right? Like, it's a little bit kind of like the way your rogue would be. It's like, I'm not messing with this. Why would I fight these losers? I'm waiting for the big fight.
My raid team used to put raid icons on me during trash fights just to make sure that I was in participating.
Mm-hmm.
But then I discovered that if I hide inside objects, it hides the raid marker. So I just started doing that.
So do we have, if this is indeed Scarlet Monastery, it appears to be, and it definitely looks like it to me. So some boss from there, whatever. What was the name you gave us? What did you say, John? I always forget his name.
High Inquisitor Whitemane.
Okay, Whitemane. He's...
She.
She's... Did I say he's? I meant she's.
Yeah.
Wait, is it really Whitemane?
Yeah, and it's been a long time. I haven't played
this. She's the one that reses, right? You kill her and then she resurrects or something like that? Or does she resurrect
you? You fight the supposed last boss, he dies, then she comes out of the room and goes, "Arise, my champion," and then you have to fight both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wonder if they can do that. Like, we have a Greymane and we're going to have a Whitemane now?
Yeah. Oh, Whitemane and Greymane. Interesting.
Is that allowed?
Maybe it's just her dude, and that's who all we're getting. And she's just in the background going, "Arise!" every time he dies and goes to the Nexus. And that's it. That'd be good.
I mean, I think she's probably the most iconic from there. It could be others. I did see some people suggesting, what if they do a funky hero where it's, you know, when a character dies, you play as her? Or, you know, there's some weird mechanics that could come into play. It could be a character from another part of the map that they have just stuck in that room, or they're using that room for flavor. But she kind of is the main character of that dungeon. And slight Legion spoilers, if you played a Death Knight in Legion, she has since been raised as a Death Knight and is now one of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
So she kind of, her lore is continuing even going forward. I really like her. I think it's mostly because she's got an awesome hat.
Okay.
Maybe that makes me incredibly superficial, but she does have a very cool hat.
It's a good hat, actually. That's a...
Let's say it's her. Let's say it's her. Do we have any clue what kind of kit a character like that would have?
Well, she's a priest, and I think Bo just last episode, I think we talked about how we're missing a priest. So it is a chance to get that class somewhat represented in the game.
All right. About there's a demon in Scarlet Monastery too. I've seen some people tweet that one out.
I think you're talking about Balnazar. Is that?
Yeah.
So Balnazar
is like a lame-o, or is he?
He's not in Scarlet Monastery. He's in Stratholme. He was pretending to be the leader of the Scarlet Crusade.
That makes sense. I think I remember seeing there was a cutscene. Was it in Wrath even?
Maybe.
Never mind. Yeah, I thought maybe there was a thing with. Isn't there a part of Cataclysm where you help out the Scarlet Crusade a little bit to get to the bottom of what's corrupting their order?
Yeah, they definitely crop back up in Lich King.
It might have even been Cata, because it takes you all over the place. But I remember going to an island and helping the guy with the gray beard figure out that demons were possessing it or something.
She's got a fair amount of fan art and cosplay going on, like all over the internet here. So maybe she's bigger in the minds of players than I've given her credit for. Because I just don't think of her as anything more than a dumb boss I fought once.
Well, I'm kind of with you on that one, but I think maybe it's because she's dressed like a Street Fighter character.
In the game. A little bit, yeah.
Like, she doesn't wear pants. She's like, I don't need the crotch part of my pants to do priest work.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah, she's kind of
one of those. So people like dressing up and drawing paintings of women that look like that. So I figure it's
There's some pretty.
She's
good...
pretty. Like, I remember the mechanics and I remember the character, but like, she's pretty unremarkable. Like, otherwise, in my mind, and I've played a lot of, you know, been in that dungeon a ton, and I don't know.
Yeah,
but I'm like, cool. They're gonna breathe new life and identity into the character. Dahaka was cool, but I never thought of him as a character in Heroes, and he's great. So
that's true. But at least Dahaka had some front page though in StarCraft. Like, you knew him from the campaign of Heart of the Swarm, and I don't know. Yeah. That was all very memorable to me. My memory of her really is seriously that thing John said. You kill the dude you think's the boss, the back door opens, she comes out and goes, "Ah, you thought you got me, did you?" And then he comes back to life and now the two of them fight you. That's my whole memory. I have no other connection to her at all. So That's
back in
me.
Vanilla, that was considered awesome, though. We didn't have any other level of comparison. It was like, what? A boss fight that's two bosses? This is too crazy. Get out of here, WoW.
Yeah.
I think of it this way. I think if it's like White Main, then why not have just done Hogger? Like it's that level, you know? It's just like we haven't seen, like, Hogger is like a meme, right? It's not a serious character, but people love Hogger.
You could totally see Hogger in this game.
Hogger should be in the game, but right. It's like, they could have done Hogger, or they did White Mane, and to me, Hogger has the, you know, or Leroy Jenkins. Like,
they could,
if we're talking,
still do both, though, and that's exactly what I like about this, is every time we do the what character is next, it's like, you think of the major lore characters. It's like, okay, was Malfurion in? Yeah. Okay, what about Jaina? There.
Yeah.
Like, you just go down this list of main characters, and that's all you really think about, and sometimes you get a little off the beaten path. But to just grab like a popular boss from Scarlet Monastery is super cool. I like that idea a lot. Yeah,
I'm not against it. I'm just a little.
I mean, are they out of?
I don't think Scott and I are against it or don't like it. I just think
not at all.
She's on a tier of quality that is.
Yeah, like for me,
we're categorizing Warcraft characters by, you know, in certain classes. I mean, Lunara was basically nothing, and they made a cool character out of it.
Yeah, that's how I look at Hansy Boy. I can't think of anybody.
Hansy Boy.
What's his name? Giant Hand, my favorite healer. What's wrong with
Stukov?
Me? Stukov. Oh, holy Stukov. Shit.
Yeah.
Hansy Boy.
he's awesome. And
right, welcome back, Scott. I missed you.
I didn't. My Stukov brain cell got killed last week in 103 degree fever, but anyway, he's one of those where I don't have a connection to him in StarCraft very much. Like, I don't think of him and go, oh, remember his stuff in StarCraft? That was amazing. I don't really think of him that way. So he was one of those heroes that hit, and I went, eh, okay, whatever. And then just fell in love with him because mechanically he's amazing, and I've grown to appreciate him. That totally could happen here. I'm not poo-pooing this at all, but I do think John has a point about, we're getting through the roster. Like, at some point, Blizzard kind of starts to run out of names we know. They may never run out of options, but the big names we know, we're getting there, man. Like, we're getting there.
You mean like the, what do they call it, tentpole?
Yeah, the tentpole characters across the board, across the IPs, I feel like are being represented. Now, maybe the most underrepresented, funny enough, is Overwatch, because they can just keep making characters if they want to and keep bringing them over, and they could have all 24 represented or whatever they are up to now, 25 with the
hamster.
A lot
of their characters are very well known.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Per capita popularity of character is high because they have basically, they have other characters, but, you know, they're very.
Yeah.
Who I don't remember the name of that person that was talking to Zarya and Sombra. I remember Sombra.
Oh,
Zarya,
right. The lady. Yeah.
The leader of Volskaya.
Oh, yeah. But if they're not a playable hero, they're just, who knows?
They're just whatever. But I, by the way, I played the hamster. He's kind of great. Fun to play. But I all I can think about is how would this character work in Heroes? And I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. Mechanically, he's weird.
I like that we play Overwatch the same way, as like a trial grounds. Like, all right, we're considering moving you up to the Heroes roster. Let's see how you play here.
Yeah. All right. I can't help it. Like, it's impossible for me, especially because he goes into this ball shape and the camera zooms out, and I'm thinking, okay, what is this in a lane, and his behavior, how would it translate? And that's all I could think about. But he's cool. I like him. He's actually pretty fun. I think the fact that he's a hamster is still stupid as hell, but I think his actual gameplay is really good. But anyway, fine, whatever. Bring her on. Scarlet Crusade lady, we're ready for you.
If it's her. This is going to age really badly if it's not her.
It's probably not her. I mean, who would it be, though? If it's that room.
There's the one arm guy, you know, that he spins around a lot. And then after you kill him, I think a whole bunch of monks run in.
Oh, Harad?
Oh, yeah. See, of course, John knows his name. Wait, tell me about Harad. What's his deal?
John's clearly the most studied.
He looks like the most generic WoW character known to man.
But he's got the one shoulder armor.
He looks like the most in need of transmog that ever existed in the game.
Oh, he looks like the guy from the South Park episode.
Yes, he does.
Actually. He totally does. Look, chat room, here's a picture of him. That's the guy that's basically dancing. Who did it turn out to be? The guy with the armrests or the arm braces and all that guy. That guy. That's his. That's the character. And you're right. He's got the one-sided, you know, one-sided.
You could, like you could loot that so that you'd have one. You'd have one shoulder instead of two, and it was very. It was a unique drop for him.
Yeah, I'm just looking.
I always thought it was cool the way all the monks ran in after you killed him. I liked that part. That was memorable.
Yeah, I mean, he could. Sure, he just doesn't have anything about him.
It could totally flashy, be the Houndmaster too. Like, yeah, I just don't see it not being White Mane. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Like, also, we're not really, I was just thinking, we're not really out of people. We got Shit Wizard. Nobody's put him in here yet.
Yep, he's not in.
He's not in.
Well, does someone have a background in the Scarlet Crusade that isn't in the instance?
That would be the red herring. She Rez's last name is Mograine, which puts him as part of that family.
Oh, Scarlet Commander Mograine. How about Blood Mage Thalanos or Thalnos? He's the skeleton.
He's
head
a Hearthstone card, yeah, actually.
And he's cool looking. He's a skeleton man.
Oh, to Chad or people who don't know, when Scott says Shit Wizard, he's talking about Khadgar.
Oh, Khadgar. Sorry. I thought everyone knew that. I shouldn't
you
assume.
You guys don't know that?
It's a freaking instance thing. But yes, Shit Wizard Khadgar. He's not being represented. Who did I see today that I thought would be good? Oh, I'm playing through some of the pre-quest stuff that's out now, yeah, and doing it with a mage. And I got to where, what's his name? Is it Thanos? Or who's the right-hand man undead guy that's hanging around with Sylvanas all day?
Nathanos.
Nathanos would be a badass in this game.
I hate Nathanos so much.
I like him.
Such a dick. Like, no matter what you do, he's just like, okay, champions. And it puts it in quotes in his little text bubble.
Yeah.
Follow me.
He is like, a butt. He's a butt.
Oh, he's the worst.
He's what's his name level butt if he was in Heroes? The John DeLancey's character. That guy.
The Horde's Tyrande.
Wait, is High Inquisitor White Mane's first name really Sally?
Yeah, Sally White Mane. Sounds like someone's neighbor.
We should just all call her Sally.
Do we want a hero in the game called Sally?
No, yes. No, we don't.
More than anything.
Should I take Hanzo or Barbara? Go for Barbara, dude. Barbara Opie. Yeah.
I want Sally in the game because it sounds like a name that we would use for a character.
Kind of does. Yeah, a little bit. I don't know, man. I'd take Nathanos over her is all I'm saying. And I know you don't like him, but, you know, there's a lot of characters that are jerks. He could be a jerk. It's fine.
That's true.
He's just cool looking. He's got those glowy eyes and all that leather. And
I think this gets pump faked. I got a feeling.
Is it too obvious? Because it's too obvious, isn't it?
White Mane is too on the nose. Yeah. It's got to be. I'm looking through the list of, you know, on WoW or whatever. Nothing's jumping out at me.
Maybe it's what's his name, the dude what killed the Lich King.
Who? Bolvar, or not Bolvar?
Well, Talon Fordring. You're talking about Bolivar Fordring.
Tyrion Fordring. Yeah.
Oh, Tyrion died. Yeah. He could come back. Sure.
Yeah.
He died in Legion. He got eaten by a thing.
He got dropped in acid and then was still alive when you went to get his sword, and it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, that was
he got like melted, dropped in acid, and then you find him encased in goop, and he's like, champions, I'm not gonna make it. It's like, how are you alive now? How did you make it this far?
Yeah, how are you alive at all? So here are your options from that whole run: Ashir the Sleepless, Blood Mage Thalnos, he's kind of on my list. I think he's cool. Fallen Champion.
Yep, Fallen Champion.
Yeah, can't get up. He's fallen and he can't get up. Iron Spine, Iron Spine, another skeletony man. Houndmaster Loxie, he's the dude at the beginning.
Yeah, he likes dogs.
Harad, he's the one from South Park.
Yep.
Scarlet Commander Mograine. High Inquisitor White Mane, that's Sally, as you know her. Arcanist Doan.
Sorry.
Okay.
He's a nice gentleman. And I shouldn't have laughed.
I'm sure he's a lovely man. Who knows? Interrogator Vicious, or Vishas, V-I-S-H-A-S.
Is he an undead man?
No, he
looks... he's the guy that pokes you with the little prod and is like, secrets, tell me your secrets.
Yeah, that's the one. The one that you're thinking of who's an undead man is High Inquisitor Fairbanks.
That's it. He's locked in a little room.
Which support should I play? Play Fairbanks.
I love the idea of one called Fairbanks. Okay, my vote is Fairbanks. That's fine. I like an undead guy. We don't have an undead guy yet, so.
I feel like I need to throw it out because I've seen chat rooms say it approximately 1,000 times so far. Lillian Voss also has ties to the Scarlet Crusade. She is a very cool character that I like a lot, but she's a rogue. And we kind of already have that covered, which is kind of why I'm disregarding Lillian Voss.
Yeah, but she's a pirate rogue, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a pirate realm.
Extra powers.
That's a comic book right there.
John or Bo would also go with your pump fake because this could be them going, hey, what's in Scarlet? But she's connected outside of it. Kind of
it's Scarlet Crusade and it's being eaten by a Viking from the StarCraft universe.
I don't know.
Do you know anything about High General Abendus?
No.
No, not really.
That was my wrestling name in junior high. What was it? High Bender Neflus? What was it?
Yep. High Bender Neflus.
I can't remember things 5 seconds after I heard them.
Cartoon.
So we don't know. We're going to find out. John says his money's on High Inquisitor tomorrow. White Mane. Yeah, probably tomorrow, right? They're doing these 3 days in a row, and yeah, that's fine.
Today is patching out. Like, I think there's a pattern. They do like tease, then news, then more tease, then news, then a reveal, probably.
If Blizzard's listening, I hope what they take from this is that we'd like Shit Wizard Khadgar in the game at some point. Like, I know you got a lot.
Character named Sally.
You got a lot of wizards and mages. I know that, but he has stuff he could do, and I want to hear him talk. I want to have a voice pack for the announcer pack for him. I want Shit Wizard Khadgar.
Want his mount to be that part where he's just a head and an orb.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
And that's just actually
now. Now that you say that, Khadgar immediately shot to the top of my list.
Yeah. I love it. Just mount up as a head in a bubble. That'd be incredible.
I like that he had never done it before, and all of a sudden his head in a stupid bubble pops up in that game. And my immediate thought when I saw it was like, this is weird, and his first words are, I'm trying something new. And I was like, yeah, wow. No kidding.
Yeah, he pretty really good. Ended up being one of my favorite things about Legion, and maybe Warlords for that matter, but I just really like him. I kind of hate him, but I love him. So bring him into the game, Blizzard. That's all we're asking for. So we'll see. Maybe tomorrow. Hey, patch. Big patch happened. For some reason, the headline here is Patch Adams. Just because of the name Patch Adams? Is that it?
Yep.
All right, perfect.
That's it.
The Heroes team dropped a big patch today. I noticed that as well. I logged in and went, oh, look at this, a patch. Let's talk about it. Been some minor buffs, some minor nerfs, some big nerfs, and some developer commentary that we think is interesting. Also, we have an email early in here regarding Malfurion that I think would be interesting to read. But let's start with the minor buffs, Alarak and Kael'thas getting a little bit of a tweak. What's significant here, if anything?
Not much. Alarak has his basic attack damage increase, which I think affects his abilities, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
The sadism, I think, no, it doubles AP. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it's a big deal, though. We'll see.
Yeah.
But Kael'thas has a bump to Living Bomb and Flame Strike, and it's a hefty enough bump. I think like 20 points of damage or something, but with scaling, that could... You tend to feel things like that, so I'm curious to see where that lands. It's cool.
All right. Yeah. It's nice to see him get a little bit of love.
He's going to hurt a little more when he hits you with his fire.
Sure. Minor nerfs include Phoenix, Genji, Tracer, Deckard, Blaze, Cho'Gall, and Diablo.
I'm going to earmark that. Not minor for Genji, though.
Oh, what happened to Genji?
So his reset on E his 2 second window. Yeah. Like, you know, if, you know, you've been eaten by Genji.
Oh, I have been eaten by Genji many times.
We all. And the worst part is that sometimes, you know, it seems to take a really long time for you to die. Like, you're like, oh, I got him. But then he ends up getting you. But you're like, that's cool. He dove the towers. He killed me, but he's going to die. Nope, he's back out. So it's been reduced to 1.5 from 2 seconds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a big deal because the way people play Genji is they suicide and do reckless stuff, especially in quick match, and it's super annoying. I even played a game the other day where all the Genji literally did was waited for somebody to be at 20% health. You didn't see him anywhere on the minimap until somebody was at 20% health.
Yeah.
And that he eat in immediately, pressed X strike, pressed deflect, and if he didn't get a kill, well, he got away. So like, he got his D up for jumping.
Sure. Who counters that?
Most of the time he was getting the kills because he was waiting for his teammates to do all the work.
Who's countering that but the best? Like, who can counter that kind of crap? Just well, like,
I mean, anybody that can
in organized play, if you've got a stun, like if you've got Uther, if you've got like just anything that can hold him still for enough seconds to burst, it's fine. But in quick match, nobody has these tools.
Right.
He just runs free. So that's why I'm just like, he's a terror in quick match, and it's a game mode a lot of people play, and it's sucks to play against.
So. They gotta pay attention to it. I get that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say another one of these. So I put these under minor just because there's not a large number of them. Not that they're not significant, but I would say another one that to be aware of is Deckard's healing is going down a little bit. He's kind of been a very popular pick healer-wise lately.
Yeah.
It's not a huge reduction, but just be aware those potions are going to do a little less.
It surprises me that he's being targeted for nerfs to that, where I thought his healing wasn't that great anyway. I thought where he was strong was his lockdown and his crowd control. His CC is off the charts, so it surprises me. But
I think his healing gets nuts like post 16.
That's true. Especially late game,
20,
yeah.
If the game gets to 20 and his potions come back infinity, I think it gets a little nuts.
Yeah, that's true. Blaze got dinged. Cho'Gall, as I mentioned, Cho specifically got dinged. A little bit in Diablo. John, what happened to Diablo? Are you sad? Is it okay?
No, not at all. Because it was all on his Lightning Breath ult. That's the only thing that they changed. The slow amount per tick was reduced from 5% to 4%. And the maximum slow amount reduced from 50 to 40%. So yeah. Basically, when he breathes fire on you right now in the game, it slows you down. For anybody who doesn't know, it has become a more popular pick lately. But it's now a little less slowing. But I still think it's a pretty popular ult and still a pretty good ult.
Yeah.
And you can always go back to the old standby.
So. Sure. If I run into a room, and let's say it's 50 men with their wieners out. I have a 20% slow every time I run into one of those. So what, I understand.
Wait, did you say 50 men with their wieners? I gotta get a calculator for that one.
Well, in that case, I'm up to 4 and I'm stopped. I'm done. So
50 men times 5% would be 250% slow. At right. 5%.
Okay.
Now that it's 4.
This is important math. I'm glad we're really figuring this out.
It's only 200%.
Yeah. Is that all?
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't ever be in that situation.
Yeah. I think probably just want to avoid that situation. It's a very, very strong slow.
Nerfs happen in the way of Rainer, and this bummed me out. A developer comment was Rainer's pepper is bringing a bit too much of the salt. I get it, but also this bums me out because I've been really enjoying Rainer, been playing him quite a bit, and I'm not that great with him to probably even notice this change, but they had to dial
you're fine. Like, yeah. Are you using Ace in the Hole at level 1?
No, I usually use on the
that's
pepper,
the one that's nerfed. Behemoth armor, the base health gain was changed from 250 to 200. Were you taking behemoth armor?
No. Wait. Remind me what Behemoth Armor does.
It's animal husbandry for Rainer. Every time you hit hero with pepper, you get 5 extra health to your max health.
Oh, it's a quest, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an
I might actually take that quest. So, yes, yeah. I do take that.
I think it's a pretty big flex pick. It's not a big change, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like these are not big. There's no changes basically to his damage, other than your raider. The raider's auto attack damage is reduced by 3 points at level one, so whatever that translates to. That you might notice that's a little less strong, but you're like nuts and bolts or salt and pepper baseline raider play is unchanged.
I won't notice it because I'm still taking Hyperion.
Because you think that that's the team the team move. That's the one you think is the right one and the moral choice, right?
It's the hipster choice.
Yeah, it makes me sound like I'm edgier than I am.
I'll tell you what, in a quick match environment, that raider thing is the only way to go. If you are with the team, I agree with John. It's probably the better team pick. You need to clear out some zoning. You got to do some zoning. You got to clear out a bad mess. It's probably better to have a giant ship flying over shooting people than a tiny little ship shooting people.
I like shooting buildings. Yeah. And also people don't like to defend those buildings when they're getting shot. They like to stand outside of it, which means everybody gets to shoot those buildings with me.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it is nice. But also there's something very special about somebody trying to get away. In fact, this happened to me with maybe it was a Genji or a Tracer or something. Somebody who can get out of there easy. My raider thing stayed targeted and only really needed to get one more shot off before they were dead. Maybe it's nerfed now and it wouldn't have worked, but it chased them down and got them. And they thought they were, you know, scot-free, no pun intended. And I got them anyway. And there's something very satisfying about my little buddy causing mayhem like that.
That's true.
It's like being Taronda with your stupid effing owl.
You do play a hunter, so maybe having a little buddy out there is comforting.
I like having my little buddy out, although it causes 20% slow if you get too close to my little buddy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Per buddy is right. All right, Sergeant Hammer. Developer comment was this. This change is to address a situation where orbital BFG could kill enemy forts, keeps, and potentially end the game with no counterplay from the opposing team. We realize that this is a minor nerf to Blunt Force Gun and a fairly hefty nerf to Orbital BFG. Both talents are performing well right now, so we'll be waiting to see if they need a buff in some other area to compensate for this loss in functionality. So what's the nuts and bolts of how that worked for her before and what's
why? They just fixed toxic gameplay, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the thing where she would go down and she would lay it to where the big bullet would just go over either one keep or multiple keeps just nonstop over and over again.
Yeah.
And effectively what it's doing is it's basically giving you a time limit. Like, you now have to win the game before that does enough stacked up damage to eventually kill you.
But also it slows down the game because you can set that thing loose and turtle up.
Yeah.
And just troll the other team.
Like, I've never liked that feeling. I don't like that feeling at all.
This should have been fixed like years ago.
Yeah.
At launch, even. Like, not to I sound jerky saying that, and I apologize, but it's 100% feels bad, and it doesn't make the player doing it feel good, other than, you know, when you troll people in an online game to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
That's the only benefit of this thing. Like, it should be removed as a talent completely.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine as is. I just don't think it's a very compelling level 20 talent as is, I guess, is what I mean.
I think the Junkrat should write it. That's my only change I would make, is he should be on that bullet. Yeah.
Fun little combo thing.
Yeah. And he doesn't have to be in the game. And even if he's in the game, this is just a clone of him, but him just on there going, yee-hoo, flying across the map on there. That's how you fix it.
I mean, it technically repeats forever, so it would be fun if there was some, like, algorithm that on every 100th bullet, Junkrat just rides across.
Yeah, I'm into that. Skins.
Cool Mortal Kombat secrets in Heroes of the Storm. Like, oh, hey, key combinations. You know, if you get a perfect victory on Towers of Doom and Hammer does her bullet, Junkrat's on the bullet.
Yep. And then you have to type really fast. Some of those, you got to type Q-E-E-R-E-W-E. And then enter.
They had a couple of those with, what's that guy's name? The Indiana Jones of the game.
He's in most, if not all, the maps if you click the right stuff.
He's in Tomb and Sky Temple that I'm aware of. I don't know if he's in the other maps.
Yes. What's his name? He's
Harrison Ford. Or Harrison Jones.
Harrison Jones.
No, Harry. It's not Harrison Jones, is it?
It is Harrison Jones. Yeah.
I was trying to think, because usually they reverse names, like Harris Pilton. So I was trying to think of like Jindiana Jones. I was like, this is not right.
But they
take Harrison's first name and Indiana Jones' last name and made it into a character. Yeah. You remember from the desert in the Cataclysm? Yeah. Cataclysm coming up a lot today.
Yeah, we went out. You had to go do a big quest line with him that was basically an Indiana Jones story.
Yeah.
And do a bunch of tomb raiding. It was great.
It's like basically a movie with the amount of cutscenes they put into that leveling experience.
Yeah, they were into that.
A lot of cutscenes.
They were super into that segment, that section, and wanted you to know it. All right. Significant changes to Hanzo, everyone's favorite brother of Genji. Here's what developers say, and then we can talk about what happened. Hanzo, while extremely desired and powerful in professional play, doesn't have the same success across all levels of Hero League. We think that by reducing the power of Sonic Arrow and shifting that into basic attacks, not only will Redemption be a more attractive option, but Hanzo's success should rise in Hero League without making him any more powerful in organized teams. I hate playing against him. I don't play him at all myself, so I don't know how significant this is, but are Hanzo people freaking out?
They very much are targeted towards high-level play because it looks like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, basic attack damage is increased. So I don't know what that's fixing, but okay.
To me, it's like, hey, we're going to see more of that play where he spins in a circle while he's holding his little arrow, and then he shoots you with it, and then he just stands there and autos you until you hit him once, and then he goes, ah! And then he disappears for a while, and then he comes back.
Yeah.
I don't like playing against him.
I hate playing against him. Can't
stand
it.
So I guess it's like they're seeing that he has low win rates in Hero League, so they're increasing his basic attack damage, which is an important part of his play. You have to remember to auto with him. But the thing they tuned down was, again, natural agility. Now it's down to 30-second cooldown. That's his ability to jump over walls.
Yeah.
And the level 20 that affects it. Sonic Arrow duration is decreased and stuff, so that's pretty good. Sonic Arrow is pretty annoying to play against, but...
Are those two still on like kind of double ban rates, the brothers, or is that a gone thing now? Does nobody do that now?
No, Hanzo's definitely not on the ban list. Genji and Tracer are. They often make it through because there's just Rainer's getting banned and Garrosh is getting banned, and usually the Genji gets banned often in the early games that I'm playing. But
so even with three bans, she's making
no one's. Hanzo's hard to play. He's one of those like on a knife's edge where it's like. Everyone is not that great with him until they're incredible with him. And then he gets played at HGC a lot, I think, still. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, everyone's disgusting pervert had some changes as well. Asmodan, you love him. His win rate has slowly crept up as players get the hang of his rework. We feel his PvE inclined elements are less impactful than we'd like. So they want to pull back that direction again. Making a number of small adjustments to Asmodan's various demons and all shall burn to help ensure their talents are competitive choices. Also giving Globe a bit more baseline damage at the cost of its scaling to make it slightly easier to stack earlier in the game. Bo, you've been playing a ton of Asmodan since the rework.
Yeah.
Is this all fine?
Probably. There's a lot of stuff here. The one thing that jumped out at me that I did not like is the whole... Remember we talked about this where I railed about how like everything should just have a pretty even percentage
of
scaling.
Right.
And if it isn't, it should be marked somewhere pretty clearly.
Yeah.
So now we have a case where the hero scaling is 4%, except for one ability is 3%. And I'm like,
gets a little complicated.
Can be marked anywhere? I'm going to forget about this in a couple of weeks. Does it matter? I don't know, but it's information that's good to know. It's already hard enough to grok like how much damage you're going to do at 10 and 20 when you just look at the character on the select screen. But that being said, I don't know, he's a little this is Asmodan's role. All I want to do is play quick match with him so I can have fun dunk kills and have a good time. I see people in Hero League constantly right now insisting he's great and playing him. He's a dumpster fire. He's not good.
Whoa.
So stop playing him.
Jeez.
I like lose every game and I beat every team that Azmodan is on. I'm not seeing any good stuff that puts him in a place where he's like this amazing competitive thing. Unless you're the Azmodan god and you're super amazing with this hero, which I remain unconvinced. So
I mean those people exist, but sure. Your mileage may vary, but he sounds like he's a lot of fun in Quick Match right now.
Yeah. And that's I don't want to be too negative on the hero, but it's just
him a garbage fire.
I don't want to be too negative, but he's the worst thing ever created.
Yeah. Like I just don't think he brings it. I think when people are really putting in all their effort into a game, I don't think he provides enough value. And the only way he's going to provide the value is with push. And we see that stuff starting to get scaled back on a lot of these specialists. So I don't want them to increase it in that direction. We'll see if this does anything or not.
How much of that uptick in play when you see him show up in things like Quick Match in competitive play, how much of that do you associate with the rework, and how much of that do you associate with the fact that he just got a bunch of skin love? Ooh, that doesn't sound right. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Skin love.
Because do you think that actually affects that?
No, I think there are heroes that are like beloved by players. Like I recently went through on Hotslogs and found out who the biggest one tricks are in the game. Mm. Like which heroes in this game inspire a person to play, honestly, a very stupid amount of games with one hero. Like I'm judging you totally. but I wanted to know who those heroes are, because underneath those top players, you know, sort of points us to passion. And Azmodan has the highest. There's a player by the name of Crit Rate. Currently, he's played 5,704 games as Azmodan.
Holy shite, dude.
And I think that's probably, it might be the only thing he plays. I have no idea what the state of his other roster is, but I've played 10,000, I'm close to 10,000 games in Heroes, approaching 3 years, and I don't play 24 hours a day, but 5,007, that's half my career of games, right? Just as the one hero.
Yeah.
So he inspires the most like fandom. He's basically the waifu, the biggest, you know, the biggest waifu love. Am I using it right? Like no. If people wanted to have a life-size version of them in their home, it's going to be Azmodan. It's not going to be like, you'd think it'd be like Jaina. I love Jaina so much. No. People love Azmodan, and that's what I'm getting from this, and I'm going to stick with my flawed logic. But so people just play him because they like him.
Yeah.
But the way his kit is it's not very conducive to anything constructive unless he's, I think, broken and can push a lane and unattended and like not be punished. It's just, yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I don't think his rework made him into something different than what he already was. It's just fun and new, and he has a cool new skin.
They just move the furniture around a little. Yeah. I could see that. Well, we'll get to Mr. McChangey here in a minute. But before that, Murky, the developer comment on this was, we're adjusting Fish Tank to not be so binary in the situations where it's powerful. We're granting 75 physical armor. While granting 75 physical armor was an appropriate amount of power against other talents on the tier, it resulted in some situations where Murky could not be killed when playing against certain enemies. We're changing the talent to be more generally useful so that Murky can get a lot of value as long as he is hitting enemies, but he can still be killed by more conventional methods. Take that, you little... Are you all right? What the hell is that sound? You all right, Bo?
Sorry, I burped faster than I could push the mute button. I was worried.
It's like some kind of... And then it went. And then it went away.
There's all kinds of noise. I just muted because the cops drove by at full blare, and then they burped after I unmuted. And
you know, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's all right. Don't change. It was great.
Yeah, but Murky, great.
Yeah, John's.
It sounds like this is probably ultimately a pretty significant nerf. I don't know for sure, but it sounds like it's not great.
Yeah.
Wait. Fish Tank was certainly powerful in the right situation if it came.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still kind of have it. You just have to be, you can't just have it, right?
Has anyone played Murky in the last?
It's been a while. Well, maybe once or twice in the last 6 months, but I have no focus on him at all.
I can't remember the last time I played him.
Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't even seen him. Oh, no, I guess we did see him not too long ago.
Yeah.
We had the tilted Murky that just kept offering himself up as a sacrifice.
Yep. Yep.
But I haven't seen him much more than that.
Well, he's a shitty little fish man. That's the problem. All right. Let's talk about Malfurion. I don't have any commentary here, except I just want to point this out.
They didn't offer any commentary.
They didn't offer any.
They just laid it out there for you.
So, well, first let's talk about that. John, what'd they do to him? What'd they change?
Malfurion. So he has a new talent at level 1 called Rejuvenation. It's part of his Q. Malfurion gains 5 health per second for every active regrowth. So it's kind of a self heal, like a passive self heal. And then at level 13, they removed Ice Block. So he no longer has that.
Okay.
And then they moved Nature's Swiftness from level 1 to level 13. And movement speed per regrowth has been increased from 4 to 6%.
Okay. It sounds like a concession there on the back end. That's fine. Here's this email we got from Tyler. He says, I wanted to address Scott's feeling on the latest episode about not liking Malfurion's playstyle from his recent rework, but he couldn't put his finger on it. I would have to say I totally agree, and I feel it is because he isn't a Restro Druid anymore. He plays like a disciplined priest from WoW. That team needs to turn him back into a Resto Druid. Thanks, Tyler, says Tyler. I think he's actually onto something there.
Yeah, that actually sounds about right.
Yeah, and it's weird because that's not how... I mean, he doesn't play a thing like he used to play. These changes notwithstanding, I haven't seen him replay with him yet, and it doesn't sound like they change the core functionality of him, but they basically just threw all of it out and just said, well, how about this? And it's just this totally different thing that I think they could have saved for another hero or something.
Like, it feels like he's now designed around a healing mechanic they came up with rather than a archetype.
Yes. And I think that's not great. And I think it goes against some of their core values on this team, which is, and one of them has always been, you know, lore matters. These characters matter. You know, we treat them with, you know, velvet gloves. We want to make sure that that stuff's covered before we do anything else. And we build an interesting, you know, set of mechanics around that character. And I feel like I realize he was early and he wasn't anything flashy, certainly. I mean, I've had my complaints about that in the past as well, that he wasn't really doing much other than just heal. Here's a little mana. How about some lawn? You'd like a little lawn down for you? Here you go. Here's some lawn. Don't get caught in it. Or please do, actually, because I don't like you. You're the other team. And that's great. Tree Prophet 101. But instead, he's like kind of weird now and doesn't really match his archetype, doesn't match his character, doesn't really match even other Resto Druids in the game of World of Warcraft where he's from. It just feels like a different... He's wearing really different clothes.
I'll tell you the thing I think is wrong with it. I mean, you know, we could all have our opinions about whether it matches up to what's there, but mechanically speaking, I like the idea of using the W to get the heal. What I haven't been enjoying is managing the cooldowns.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I put a Q on someone and I know, okay, I've got a Q on him. And they even updated this little graphic where you have a green leaf on them, and then as it gets closer, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Scott, because it might be a recent addition.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I've seen it. I think so.
It turns yellow, and then it turns red as it gets, you get, like, you know,
like
you
have stop. Like it decays. You can see it decaying, yeah, so and then see, if you can refresh
it. So it's really helpful, but sure. What I don't enjoy doing is I have this feeling of, like, I press Q on somebody, and now it's like I have to look at my stopwatch.
Yeah.
Because if I don't apply a Q as soon as it's off cooldown, my potential to spread the Q around to as many people as possible diminishes.
Yeah.
So if I miss a train, then I'm late and maybe I only have 2 heals over time on people rather than 3. And it's because I wasn't paying attention to my stopwatch.
Yeah.
Paying attention to a stopwatch is not a fun activity for anyone. I think it's a job for a lot of people, you know, to watch things and make sure they're pressed on time. This is not this sliver of the kit is what the problem is. Because, like, if there was none of that and you just got heals from pressing W for your teammates, I think everyone would be I don't think you'd have the same feeling, is my guess.
Yeah. And I know they don't want to just have, you know, another, I don't think in who's just healing now. But I mean, I know they want to be creative with this and they want support to be more than just here's a heal, I'll be back in a minute when you need another one sort of thing.
You love Stukov and he does the same thing.
He has not the exact same thing. But
he doesn't have to look at a stopwatch. Right. All he's got to do is make sure he's near people.
Right.
Which is you're doing anyways.
Yeah. And he has cooldowns, but they're not the same. Exactly.
And be like, oh snap. The one stopwatch you got to be careful is about kill switch.
Mm-hmm.
But that feels good because you're pressing it. The timing is like, oh, now we need the heal. There goes the flame strike. Boom, heal, like just in time. And I've done a skillful thing.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, you know, watching and just being like, okay, before the fight starts, don't start the fight just yet. I need to get that third heal so I can be effective.
Yeah.
And then everyone just goes off and does their own thing and you just feel frustrated.
Yeah, it bums me out. So I'm with Tyler on this.
I'm on like team the Q regrowth idea. There's something there, but it's the Q part is bad.
Yeah.
I think the problem that we're gonna have with this is that he is considered a good hero and he's doing well. Is the problem because, like, you know, it's kind of obvious if a hero's floundering, okay, that's a good time to reevaluate the kit and all that, but Malfurion still has a pretty good win rate and a pretty solid pick in HGC.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things like where
one
perf
away from feeling bad, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's when he's not getting picked at all that becomes a let's address him. When he's doing super well, I don't know. Have they ever made a change when a character is completely healthy?
In the ideal scenario, it's one support per team versus like something like an assassin that you have three slots for. Warriors, you can have two up to two. I don't think there's a ton. I think when there's a meta that is double support, it's like it's got to be fixed. So the ideal scenario is always one. So even though there are less supports, there are lots of options for supports, including ones that get banned.
Yeah.
So I just think Malfurion's tuned up a little too high right now, and that with some tuning down, other supports would easily take the forefront. They're not that far behind that they wouldn't, in my opinion.
Yeah, I get that impression.
He's got a really strong ultimate too, and that plays a factor.
Which Twilight, one? Oh, Twilight Dream.
Yeah. Astral or Twilight Dream. I mean, it's a huge playmaking ability on the character. So
the other one,
I mean, that's what it is. He gets picked because he does decent healing, but he's an extremely strong playmaking hero.
Yeah,
the same deal with Deckard.
Right,
he does decent healing. He's extremely effective at playmaking. So
yeah, and maybe the focus has just changed with him. Like you could play a really strong E build, and throw a lot of turf around and really, you know, make the world a better place. I don't know. He just feels funny to me right now, and I need some time away from the old Tree Prophet. I was just starting to love him, and then they pulled the rug out.
I think they tune the healing down, and then put the Q on like a 2-second cooldown, and that way it's easy for you to manage your hots.
Yeah.
But the heals come from the W, so there's your skill. Don't get killed, but W the enemy team.
Yeah, still have the skill factor. Just take away the not fun part, which is managing time. I hate that. In games of pretty much every ilk. All right, moving on to John's favorite hero of all time. That is Ariel. Just kidding. Artanis. Artanis is the Manus and Artanis.
Artanis.
Artanis has an anus. He is getting some changes. I'll read the commentary and then I want to know what you think. And the rumor is you're going to be playing Artanis in our games later. So we'll see what the hell's going on with him. Anyway, we saw an opportunity to give Artanis some more competitive talents, particularly in his later tiers. Our goal with these changes was to create some different playstyles and synergies between his talents and to give him a little more punch as the game goes on and the enemy team becomes more capable of locking him down. Bo put a note in here about he thinks it's gross that the Zealot charge was moved to 20, that is to say level 20, saying he was just, you know, maybe that means he was too mobile. But anyway, we can talk about all that. John, where's your head at with these changes to Artanis?
It's great. He needed it. We got asked on our show last week what my build was with him. And when I gave it, it was kind of a realization that, oh, it's kind of roughly the build that everybody's running with him. You know, there's a couple of areas where you branch out depending on comp, but generally speaking, he's got kind of a set build, and it looks like they're trying to give him some additional options as far as powering up some of his other abilities, new ways to enhance his shield, new ways to increase his survivability, especially in the early game. And if you're going to be doing big swaps, finding ways to keep you alive. There's a lot of changes, honestly. Like, he's almost approaching rework territory.
It's basically talent rework from everything 13 up. Like, yeah. There's two changes below 10. And one is like a mana cost reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's three. The shield battery trait is interesting, that the cooldown reduction is increased by 100%. I think that's a big deal.
Mm.
Yeah. But what do you think about Graviton Vortex now, the new one, where you get CDR on Phase Prism? That seems good, right?
I think that seems really, really good. But I think that, honestly, level 13, I think, feels very competitive. Because, like, when I look at all of these, I think there are reasons to potentially take all of these.
Like, one of them is, like, Tumblr's Zeal is, like, do you want to use Blade Dash more? And Graviton Vortex is, like, do you want to use Phase Prism more? And then the other one's, like, do you want Spell Armor?
Yeah, like, the other one is, are you getting destroyed by spells?
Yeah, but they're all pretty cool. Like, I definitely agree that these are pretty awesome.
That's great.
I will say to them moving Zealot Charge,
that was a bad
move. I guess they're leaving it alone. I never picked it at 16.
I think that's down to playstyle. Because I've been running Artanis in my Hero League games on Battlefield of Eternity, and there's always somebody I can't reach. So I'm 100% pick rate on the extended range, because I'm like... Leaving's teleporting away, Genji's gone, Hanzo's jumping, and I'm like, I'm Artanis, let me walk very slowly, Tim, you know.
Now I get why you think it's gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It should be fun. Like, it honestly should it should be earlier in the talent tree, IMHO.
Yeah. Well, wait, what did it replace at 20, or did it?
Well, it just got moved to 20. Nexus Blade. Oh, this is the weird thing. So Nexus Blades is, and talents like it with similar names, they all increase attack speed. No, they don't. They increase attack range or attack damage. I think Blades are the melee one, so it's damage. And they add a slow. And they're always at 20. There's a few variants. Raynor has one, for example, at 20 that does speed and range, I think. There's variants on, like, just a general power-up of the auto attack at 20 on many heroes. And he got the I'm unique treatment by having his earlier in the tree, which is at 16 now.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's another extremely competitive tier now.
It's a boring-ass talent. And it's a good talent, but it belongs at 20. Like, because not every game gets to 20. So you don't want, like, fun talents. That's the problem I have with 20 with the dash. It's like you took a boring talent and moved a cool talent to 20, and not all my games are going to make it to 20.
It's not a cool talent, Bo. It's awful.
What, the extended range? On?
Yes, nobody takes Zealot Charge. You're the only one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure the only one. Actually, you should look it up on Heroes Hearth and see what the rate is.
I would bet your Zealot Charge on Heroes Hearth had a 0%.
Not Heroes Hearth, because that's builds. I want to see actual data. So let me go to Artanis on Hot Logs. I'm going to be a hot hipster. Hipster log.
Hipster's log.
Let's see here. Let's get a general sense. Where are you, Artanis?
Artanis. That's really gonna Artanis. Stick, isn't it? It's gonna stick. The Artanis is gonna stick.
Zealot Charge, 60% pick rate. That's... There's 16% pick rate.
Oh.
Highest win rate of 60%.
All right. Well, pat yourself on the back.
I think it's the best talent on the tier. I think the other talent, like Titan Killer, is great, but I think it's a trap because you're usually in Duo Warrior and you want to get your hands on that little Li Ming and just wring her neck with your big Protoss muscles. That's
you and 16% of other Artanis players are wrong. So you can enjoy it at level 20.
We're winning 60% of the time.
It's fine. That win rate is fine. Win rate with Artanis never picking it, so I'm not worried.
Well, we have different opinions, and that's fine. Blades of the Templar
is a fantastic talent, which is now at level 16. Bo is also wrong. It's extremely cool because it ups his attack speed by 30%, which is going to mean his shield cooldown procs more frequently and slows enemy movement, which makes it easier to stick to them and therefore less needy for zealot charge and other dumb moves like that.
What? Zealot charge lets you engage on them. This does nothing if you can't engage on them in the first place.
I engaged just fine. Mm-hmm. And they're never going to get away.
I feel like... isn't it one of those like situational deals where you're like, all right, I'm here. Oh, shoot. Genji's a problem.
Artanis, there's the sexy part of Artanis, and then there's the everyday reality of Artanis when competition's tougher. Sexy Artanis is, I'm engaging with the swap. I landed the swap. I got the cool swap. And it's great. I love the, we all love the swap.
Yeah, no, but no, the one, reality no is, one doesn't like the swap.
They dodge the swap. Plan B is, let me get at something and auto it while they poke the crap out of my team. The extended range allows you to do that by just right-clicking the hero you want, which is why I'm like there's the sexy stuff, but the everyday tools are of just having mobility, instant mobility is, I think it's more important. But, you know, it's down to personal preference. I'm just not a fan of the change, but, I still think John has every right to be excited for the new tool.
He gets a thumbs up from me.
All right. It's a yes from you.
It's a yes from me.
Yeah, very nice.
I'll be Ozzy's wife in this situation.
Good.
Say I'm all about it.
What's her name? Sharon. You're the Sharon Osbourne of Core tonight. Well done.
Yeah. Don't listen to Simon Cowell over there.
No, he's an a-hole.
Right, well, I'm a rich a-hole.
Yeah.
That knows how to play off tennis.
He's an a-hole stuffed with money.
Where's my helicopter? I'm leaving.
Urel is our final note here. Developer commentary, Israel's been very strong since her last balance update, and a few of her talent tiers are dominating by a single talent. By applying some nerfs to the overperforming ones, we think Urel will be brought back in line with other heroes and have more diversity in her talent choices. So that sounds about right for a hero of her age. Release age, I mean. I don't know how old.
I wasn't sure what that meant. I was like, sure.
I don't know how old she is.
Age-appropriate nerfs.
How long does this space goat live? Are they eternal, or what's their deal? Do we know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder if they just persist forever, man. They're just like thousand-year-old goats.
They're just around.
I mean,
I don't know. How old is friggin'
Velen?
Velen. First result is 25,000 years.
Oh, my Velen? Shit.
What?
Shut up.
A post in 2012 on the WoW forums, Sin Alia says, I think Velen is about 25,000 years old.
Oh my gosh, it says right here. Nobody knows for sure how old the prophet is. We do know that 25,000 years ago, the Eredar homeworld of Argus was a paradise of exquisite beauty, shaped by the skills of the Eredar spellcasters that had mastered their craft, and he was there. So he's at least 25,000 years old.
Now, is he unique for some reason, or is this just the life expectancy? They probably don't have a lot of kids.
I found a table. There's a table that answers this for all the races.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Great. Oh, I'm so happy you found this.
So,
this is the best.
Draenei, adulthood at 5,000 years, middle age at 15,000 years, old at 22,000, venerable at 25,000, and max lifespan over 27,000 years old.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh, Draenei, go home. You're just bringing everybody down.
Well, that's why this is why it's such a bummer when sucks the life out of them. Because if he sucks the life out of them and kills them while they're young for a really long time. So that's a worse death. Anyway, what, Bo? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. The next highest are the Night Elves at 5,000.
Yeah.
But they are also, they've had immortality before.
Right. Yeah, they
so
gave that
they
up
would,
or something.
They blew up they would, that tree they would, and they lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they had immortality, they were beating the Draenei. But apart from that, but generally elves have the highest. Actually, Forsaken have the highest. They have no lifespan because they they are filled with life, but they are not alive. So,
okay, my favorite on this, I don't know which one I like more. Naga 500 is adulthood, 650 middle age, 800 is when they die. The extreme is about 1,000. Then you've got ogres. So Cho'Gall, 16 years to an adult. You're 16. So when you're 16, you're an adult. 38 when you're middle age, 65 when you're old, and if you hit 80, you're lucky. They're just like people. They're straight up people.
Sometimes when you get this big a lifespan between the races, you wonder why they don't just say, hey guys, what if we just peaced out for a little while and let all these losers die off and we'll be back later? Why are we worried about ogres? They're not going to last very long.
That'd make a great expansion. A night elf vacation.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft.
Oh my gosh, this is a Murloc age. 12, 25, 40, and 60. 60-year-old freaking murky. Imagine that.
I want to meet that. He's just like...
Gurgle, burgle, lurgle, durgle. Centaurs like, only lived to 43 years old. Jeez. They're adults by 8.
Rusty the Murloc.
All right. Bo, that was a great find. I love that.
Yeah.
I love crap like that.
Inspiring the search.
One other final thing here. They fixed an issue allowing several effects to be seen at the edges of Fog of War. I'm very curious to see how that looks in practicality.
Like, yeah, I put this as an important change because a lot of us use this little cheat. Which is sometimes if you're close to a thing, you can see some of the particle effects. So you're able to kind of tell if something's going down without actually putting yourself in danger. So a heads up.
Yeah.
All you people who cheat like that, which I do too, it may or may not work.
You can see did they fix the boss thing? So you don't even have to be near the boss.
Yeah.
If Varian's in there, I can hear his sword sound effects. Like, you just got to put your map on it and you'll hear it. There's some stuff that still gets through.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
And visual artifacts that come through. Like, you see a sword swipe and you're like, you know.
Yeah, or you see like a plant or like a, can't think of the word for it, like a pot will suddenly shatter. And you're like, oh, someone's in there fighting.
Walking down the lane and Artanis bursts through the trees. Our time is now. And then he dashes back into the trees.
Oh, I love that idea.
I wonder if they're taking that boss. That's weird.
Our time is now. Okay. He has to do the doppelganger. What's it called? The Doppler effect.
Yeah.
The Doppler.
The doppelganger effect is very different. All right, we're going to jump into emails. Before we do, though, a note that this weekend, excuse me, There Will Be Dungeons will be back. I am not dead, it turns out. I lived. I'm the boy who lived. So this weekend, we're back to it. There Will Be Dungeons back on. We are going to... why is my name Phil in here? Oh, okay, I'm going to read this again. These are the best. These are the best, so I'm just going to read them.
I'm curious if you're going to read what's actually on there or just say it. So
I'm just going to read it because it's amazing. Powering up is hard to do, but after an extended break, Phil is back. Becky struggles with the popular demons not liking her anymore, but Tim has some real words of wisdom to help out. Plus, Darren reveals that he wasn't actually holding that pot for a friend. It's hard being an adventurer, but they'll get by as long as they have each other. There Will Be Dungeons every Saturday at twitch.tv/frogpants, 3 p.m. Mountain, everybody. Be here. I need some 90s music for that or something.
I know. It really does on a special episode of There Will Be Dungeons.
Oh, you know what? I bet I have the perfect thing. Hold on. Let's just try this.
Naga 500 is my favorite sporting event.
That's pretty good. Okay, here you go. This should have been the music.
Powering up is hard to do, but after an extended break, Phil is back. Becky struggles with the popular demons not liking her anymore, but Tim has some real words of wisdom to help out. Plus, Darren reveals that he wasn't actually holding that pot for a friend. It's hard being an adventurer, but they'll get by as long as they have each other. There Will Be Dungeons every Saturday on twitch.tv/frogpants.
All right.
Well done. That was well done.
I think that's actually the old
free description. There we go.
I think that's the old Chicago, when Oprah was in Chicago in the 80s, I think that's her old theme. So it may.
That's good.
Yeah, that's about just about musical. Right. so that's a thing. You're going to want to check it out. I'm so excited to be back on and be doing that. So check that out. Okay. What now? How about this? Oh, this cough's so dumb. Emails come to us at core@heroesforyou.com, core@heroesforyou.com, or you can go to the website at frogpants.com/core and click on the contact link. That'll get you here as well. We got an email from Peter who says this. Howdy. I only play Illidan, and I don't care if my team wins or loses. I just want to hit Metamorphosis as long as possible and hopefully make it to 20 for permanent meta. Should I just play WoW? Thanks, Peter.
Yep.
That email takes a real turn at the end.
Yeah. There's a new expansion coming out for WoW. You should go play it.
Yeah, Demon Hunters are in there now, so, you know, you can kind of be a little.
Not a permanent Metamorphosis situation yet, though, in WoW.
So. Life already hard enough as an Illidan player in this game. No reason to make it harder for yourself by taking Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
And trying to get to 20. Just win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he's trying to build a Demon Hunter, and he just really likes the speed at which he can do it. He's basically playing an entire RPG in 20 minutes.
Yeah, permanent meta is a cool feeling. We talked about, I think this is an email referencing an older episode we did, because it's fun when you get to be Wings Illidan and just fly around on your wings. It's
one of the coolest
things in the game. But you have to get to 20 and take a garbage. I'm using the G word again.
Yeah.
It's our word of the day, folks.
Garbage.
Garbage ultimate.
Being thrown around.
let's just call it what it is. It's not the animation, the sound, and everything's great, but what it does, pretty underwhelming.
Not a big deal.
The problem
yeah.
with transformations is they're super cool, and so you just want it to always be a thing that you can toggle and will last forever. If you are a worgen, you want to be able to turn into a worgen at will and have that stay that way. You don't want it to be some cooldown.
Yeah.
If you are a Dragon Ball Z character, you want to go Super Saiyan and have that be a thing that sticks around. It's always lame when they get tired and they go back to being normal. You're like, this is dumb. I want transformations that are permanent and lasting.
Yeah.
And that's all we want for Metamorphosis. We just want to change and keep it around.
Yeah,
I just want to give it the Dahaka treatment. We're at 10, you pick Metamorphosis, or it's called something else. The wings grow out on your back, and it's just permanent. And maybe this isn't even activatable. It's like Twin Blades of Fury. It's Twin Azanoths of Fury.
Okay.
There you go. Like, or something, like it's just anything. Give me the alternate mount to 10 and make it purely a cosmetic side thing to this whole deal, and just give me like the lifesteal back. Like, I don't want the teleport. I want the I want the cosmetic option plus something that's useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a teleport on a really big cooldown is not.
Yeah.
Well, give me the eye laser.
Sure. No, the eye laser is cool, man. I like the eye laser.
Look how
cool
it is. I'm doing it in the camera.
I know. It feels like I'm there. It's really good. Peter, you also maybe should be playing WoW if you're really just trying to level up a Demon Hunter. So I would just say that. But hey, if you're looking to play Illidan competitively, well, it's a different animal. And you're in the right place if that's what you want to do. Core@heroesforyou.com. Once again, is the email address. And that is going to do it for today's programming. However, there will be games after this. So stick around. We'll play. We'll see what's up. And have a good time together. That'll be fun. I believe Kristen and Kyle will be joining us. I don't know what we'll be doing, but it'll be rad. And you can be a part of it by watching us do it. That's coming right up right here on this channel, so don't leave. Patreon.com/core show is our Patreon. If you like the show and want to support its makers, that being us, you can support us by giving over there at patreon.com/core show. It's super simple. Head on over and take care of it. There's also a link at our website, heroesforyou.com. You can head there anytime. You leave comments. You can send us messages there. You can check out the archives and find all the other ways to get the show, including video and audio and whatever you need. Core@heroesforyou.com is our email address. We are on Twitter at Bo Schwartz, at John_Jagger, at Scott Johnson, and at Core Heroes if you are inclined to be socially mediafied. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Bo, for John. See you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Why couldn't you just said it's been a long time since I've seen Men in Tights?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.